Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service today. If you are visiting with us, we'd ask you to sign the guest book at the front of the sanctuary, and also join us downstairs after the service for some refreshments. If you'll go into your, turn in your bulletin, I'll just let you know that there's some announcements in there, and some flyers about some particular things that are going on. So just take a look at your bulletin this week, and see what stuff's going on in there. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to suffer the shame of the cross for my sins and for yours. There's a song whose chorus reads, "If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love." During this Christmas season, we as Christians have the wonderful opportunity to share the story of the Savior who was born in a stable, and how by his sinless life and his death on the cross made a way to have eternal life. God's gift to man is coming again, and as we gather together to celebrate this coming, remember that glorious time so long ago and prepare our hearts and minds not only for the Savior who comes as a baby, but for the Lord our God who is coming again for all who believe in him. This is the wonderful story that we can share this Christmas. This is the wonderful story that we can share all year round. Will you pray with me? God, be here with us today and always. You are the reason we gather to worship. You are the reason we celebrate, not only during the Christmas season, but all year round. Be with us this hour, we pray. Amen. So Angels from the Realms of Glory was written by James Montgomery in 1816. He was orphaned by his parents, who died on a missionary trip when he was 6 years old. And from then, he grew up in the school system in Ireland. And after some failed attempts at some apprenticeships, as a teenager, he ran away to England. And so in his early 20s, he began writing because he found that it was something he was actually good at. And he wrote for a newspaper in Sheffield, England, and actually was imprisoned twice for writing political articles that apparently did not sit well with the governing authorities. But throughout all of his ups and downs, James remained a devout Christian, and he remembered the lessons taught to him by his missionary parents. He chose to follow in their footsteps and to champion the cause of Christ. His newspaper was his pulpit to speak out against social and moral injustice. And in that same paper, he published his original hymn of praise, which was Angels from the Realms of Glory, which was actually printed on Christmas Eve in 1816.
Good morning. This is Advent 2. And a little later, if you have your calendars with you, I'll bring you in for your responsive reading. You have three parts. The first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years.
Christmas is intended to be a transforming event, not a time of celebrations and parties at the end of the year. What we do in Advent in preparation for Christmas will be our means of getting ready for a new way of looking at life, a new way of living. The prophet Malachi speaks of one who will prepare the way of the Lord, one who reminds us of the covenant of God, one who refines and purifies us in faithfulness.
How then do we prepare to transform? To be transformed by the coming of the Lord, by allowing the peace the Prince of Peace, to invade our hearts. By asking him to write the covenant of peace on our hearts, and by living in peace with our neighbors.
If we prepare ourselves by renewing our covenant with God, then we will be truly transformed as Christ comes again into our lives.
See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, says the Lord of hosts. Congregation, the light of hope has awakened our spirits. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Renew in us your covenant, O God, that we may be ready for the dawn of your salvation. We light a second candle to bring light to every darkness as we prepare for the light of the world to guide us in the way of peace. Congregation, with gratitude for your light, O God, we will prepare to welcome a new birth of your peace in our hearts.
Children, come on forward.
No? Okay, good morning. How are you guys? Okay. So what are we talking about this morning? Well, did you listen at all when Mr. Meisner and the Stevens were talking? No? Sorry, Janice, I meant you too. No? Peace. What does peace mean to you? Now, back when some of these people here were young, back in the day, back in the 60s, this... Laura might... I'm not saying anything to Laura, but here. But, you know, people used to do this all the time. They weren't ordering five drinks. They were saying peace. Okay? We had shirts with, like, little peace signs on them and that kind of stuff way back when. Okay? Do you guys ever look for peace? Where do you go for peace? Is it peaceful at school? Work with me here, Thomas. Is it peaceful at school? No? Is it peaceful at home? Maybe, but what time's bedtime? Yeah, maybe it's peaceful then. But, well, we all find peace in our own ways. Okay, it's a hectic. I was Christmas shopping at Vaughn Mills yesterday. It was very busy at Vaughn Mills yesterday when I was walking around. The other day I was having a very difficult day. It was a hard day at work. I'm living in a motel. Kids were running through the hallways and everything. You know where I found peace? I was in the pool, sitting by myself on the step. I just prayed, give me peace. And I did. It helped. It gave me peace. So we can. That's how we find, in a busy, busy world, we can take a few minutes just to pray to God and say, give me peace. And he will. Yeah. Maybe not in your time, but in his time. Okay? Okay. Let's pray before you go downstairs. Sorry? Maybe not exactly when you think you need it, when he thinks you need it. Okay? Okay. Let's pray before we go down. No, let's sit down. Let's not race. Okay? Okay. Dear Jesus, help us as we go downstairs to learn more about you from our leaders. Amen.
Father God, again we give you thanks and praise for all your many blessings you shower upon us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and offerings. We pray you multiply them in our hands and we will use them diligently for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've lifted up our voices this morning to give praise and honor and worship to our God and King, and we are in his presence, and he calls us as his children into his presence, and he wants to hear from us. And so, Father God, we do again give you thanks. We give you praise for your love shown towards us, particularly at this time of Christmas, where we remember the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we spend our time in preparation for that celebration. Father God, hear our prayers now this morning, for we have many of our congregation and our family who are sick and in need of your healing touch. Lord, we lift up to you Nora Curran, recovering now from hip surgery at Southlake. Successful surgery, Lord, we give you thanks. But Lord, now we pray you will restore her to health very quickly and return her home to her husband, Dave. Lord, I pray your blessing of peace upon them, for they know that your hand is on them. And again, Lord, we give you thanks for the healing work that you are doing in Barb Green. Lord, we give you thanks that she is able to get up now and able to walk unaided with her walker. And Lord, we just give you thanks for blessing her with this remarkable return to health. Lord, we continue to pray your healing touch upon her. Lord, we pray you will remove that cancer from her body completely, Lord, and restore her to us and to her family. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Art Reed, Jacob's grandfather. Lord, we pray for healing of his kidneys, Lord, and for him again restoring to good health. Lord, we pray for his surgery on January the 7th. Lord, we pray you'll just surround him and his family with a sense of your presence and your love. And we pray for Jacob, as he's very dear to his grandfather. Lord, we pray for Dorothy and Bob, who are away from us now at this time. Lord, but we lift up to you Donald Armstrong, Dorothy's brother, 97 years old, Lord. He's in hospital, and he's not doing very well, Lord. We just pray your blessing of peace upon him and upon Dorothy. Lord, we pray for our dear brother Gary, who is with us today. We pray for his tooth, his painful tooth that he has, and for the continuing heart issues that he has. Lord, again, we pray for your healing touch upon him, Lord. May your word go out and touch his body and restore him to health. And we'll again lift up to you our brother Al, anticipating hip surgery in January. Lord, surround him with peace and comfort. Let him not be concerned or anxious about this upcoming surgery. Lord, you have healed him before. We pray again for healing another time. And Lord, we lift up to you Guido Campoli, the father of Heather's friend Matt, who has cancer. Lord, bless him. Draw him to you. Let him feel your spirit move upon him. Bring healing to his body and comfort and peace to the family and friends. Lord, surround them with your love. Let them know that you care about every little detail of our lives. And so, Lord, we lift up these people to you who are in need of your touch. Lord, we have great healthcare system here for everybody, but you are the great healer, the great physician. Lord, we lift up to you our family of faith in the Toronto Baptist Ministries, Lord. We lift up to you now Abraham Manzo, the pastor of Faith Community Church in Toronto. Lord, surround that church with your love and with your blessing. May they be a people of peace and unity. May they be a blessing to each other and to their community. And Lord, in our local community of churches, we lift up Leslie Sador, the interim at Trinity United. Lord, again, we surround that community with our prayers. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move in them and among them to guide them into all truth. May they be a blessing to each other and a blessing to us and this community. And now, Lord, I lift up to you us, our church family, and all the families, husbands, wives, and children, grandchildren, in our church family. Lord, may the blessing of your peace descend upon each one of us this Christmas season. May we know of your love in our hearts, and may we share it with each other and with our friends, our neighbors, and our community. And now in the quietness and stillness of this place, in your own hearts, lift up to the Lord your own personal prayers. Father God, you hear the prayers of our hearts, Lord. We lift them up to you. We know we are in your presence all the time. And Lord, hear our prayers. We pray, for we pray them in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Once again, we find ourselves in the season of Christmas, Advent, a time of preparation and great expectation. Most people look forward to Christmas as a time of celebration and traveling and gathering with family and friends. And this season occurs only once a year, and after several weeks of frantic preparation, the event is over and the cleanup begins and the bills come in. But for the last 2,000 years, we have been in a constant season of preparation and expectation. Not for the birth of Jesus Christ, for that was a historical event that has taken place, but we are in preparation and expectation for his return again in power and great glory, as the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have it. He will return in power and great glory. And so we are a church, a body of people who are living in expectation that Christ will come again. We've been given many promises in Scripture of this event. Jesus said he would come back for his church, for his holy ones. The angels present at his ascension told the disciples he would come back. Paul talked about his reappearing. And in Revelation, we read again of his prophecy of his return. You cannot honestly read Scripture and come away with any other interpretation. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And so, like our annual preparation for Christmas Day, which I believe is on the 25th this year, we must take note of the fact that Jesus Christ will return one day, any day, even today. There is an imminence, an expectation that at any time, unannounced, Christ will return. And while we spend a lot of time in preparing for the Christmas celebrations, we have to ask ourselves how much time we spend preparing for his return. And in our text today, we've read it once, I'll read it again, it's only four verses. Our text is in Malachi 3, 1 to 4, and Malachi asks a very probing and serious question. Malachi says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years." The probing question is, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. When Jesus Christ came into your life, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, when he comes into a person's life for the first time, there are a variety of responses. There's usually joy, and sometimes there's tears, both of regret and sorrow at past sin, but also joy at the full knowledge that all of our sins have been forgiven, completely forgiven, and all guilt removed. When Jesus comes into the life of a sinner, he comes by the Holy Spirit, and the indwelling Spirit of Christ is like a refining fire. The purpose of Christ is to redeem each and every person who calls him Lord. Each and every person who says, I will submit to his leading in my life. And God's purpose, Christ's purpose through his Spirit in you, in me, is to purify and refine. When we receive the gospel for the first time, we begin a lifelong process of being refined. As the Word of God penetrates our very being, we are regenerated. And through our struggles with our sin nature, we are being refined day by day. Because Jesus comes into our lives, I've said this before, not to make us happy, but to make us holy. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians church, he says Christ's purpose is to make her, the church, the body of Christ, holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. There's a purifying process that must go on in those who call themselves Christians. And I must be clear that when Paul is talking about the church, the body of Christ, he is talking about those who have received Christ, confessed their sins, repented, and have committed to living a life as the Lord leads. He's not talking just about people who attend church. He's talking about people who have made a life commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Paul writes a similar message again to Titus. While we wait for the blessed hope, Christ's returning, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Christ's purpose is to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Daniel in the Old Testament records his visions of the end times. One of the angels speaks to him and says, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. There's a separation there. There are those who are going to be purified and refined, and there are those who are going to refuse. In Zechariah's vision, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. Listen to the words in these texts. Holy, cleansing, washing, radiant, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Holy, blameless, to purify for himself. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. Is there a pattern here? Is there an overarching theme here of the need for us to be submitted to God's purifying, refining process in our lives? In our text today, he says that he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. There's a story of a Bible study group who were studying this passage from Malachi, and when they came across this verse, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier, one of the group said she would visit a silversmith and ask about this refining process, what actually goes on in the refining of silver. So she went, and she didn't tell the man the real reason for a visit, but she asked him questions about the silver refining process. And she asked, do you sit while you're refining it? And he said, oh yes, he said, I have to sit, he said, because I have to keep my eye steadily on the process. For if I leave the silver in there too long, in the refining process, it'll damage the silver. God keeps his eye on each one of us intently. He's watching as he's refining us. He places each one of us into a furnace to refine and purify us. Which one of us, any one of us, has not had times in their lives where they felt they were in a furnace? A trial or tribulation or trouble came upon them, and they felt, this is just too much, it's too intense. But God will never leave you in that for too long, lest you become damaged or hurt. God knows that each one of us needs the dross of our lives refined out so that we can be purified. And he sees it necessary to put his children into this furnace. He never takes his eyes off any one of us. He has his eyes always on those he loves and those who love him. And so we endure trials in life. But these are the very processes that God uses to make us pure. Our trials in life serve God's purpose. And in this story of the woman inquired as to how the silversmith knew or knows when the process is complete. If you're watching the silver being refined and you're drawing off the dross as it comes to the top, how do you know when it's done? Silversmith said, I watch that process and I know it's complete when I can see my face reflected in the silver. When Jesus has finished refining us, he can see the face of Christ in us. That's purity. John writes in 1 John, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. When he appears, we shall be like him, because God is refining each one of us until we look just like Jesus. That is God's purpose in our life. To make us just like Christ, to be refined in the fire of life, until when he looks at us, he sees the face of Christ reflected in us and in our lives. This text says he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. But who are the Levites? How does this apply to us? In the Old Testament, the Levites were the priests, the ones who offered sacrifices on behalf of the people. In Deuteronomy 10, it says, at that time, the Lord will set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name. The Levites were a group of people set apart for the Lord's work. They were the priests. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In Numbers, again, it says, you are to set the Levites apart from other Israelites, and the Levites will be mine, the priests will be mine. After you have purified the Levites and presented them as an offering, they are to come to do their work. So there was an idea of purifying a separate group of people from the Levites, the priests of that time, setting them apart, purifying them for the Lord's work. But who are the Levites today? Who are these priests set apart today? Peter answers that question for us. In 1 Peter 2, it says, as you come to him, Jesus Christ, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here we have the same model as in Old Testament times presented to us in the New Testament, talking about a people set apart, a priesthood of people set apart and purified for the Lord's work. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ today and have settled in your heart and mind to be called by his name, Christian, then you are a part of this royal priesthood. This holy priesthood. Holy means to be set apart. You are a chosen people, Peter says again in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God will put you in his furnace to purify you for kingdom work here and in preparation for living in eternity. You who have accepted the call to follow Jesus will have many trials and tribulations in this life. And again, Peter answers, says, these have come, these trials, these tribulations in our life, have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And in 1 John, John writes, dear friends, now we are children of God. And when he appears, we shall be like him through the refining process. You have trials and troubles in life. Worries, concerns, headaches, heartaches. Yes, we do. And God uses those to purify you, to refine you, to draw you closer to God in prayer. When he drives us to our knees, when he drives us to tears, that's the refining process going on, purifying us, making us more and more Christ-like. I did a little bit of research on gold and the refining process of gold. It takes, in a moderately yielding mine, it takes about 6 tons of ore. 6 tons of ore to get 1 ounce of gold. That's a lot of dross. That's a lot of waste, burnt off, cast away, to get down to that one piece of gold. These trials and troubles in our life are intended to refine us, to purify us. They're not to harm us. God will not leave us in the furnace to be damaged. He draws each one of us to purify us. Even back in Job 23, he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. After God has put you through the tests and the rigors of this life, its purpose is that you will be pure gold, pure, refined, all the dross burnt away. And so we come to back to Malachi's question, who can stand at his appearing? And the answer is those he has refined like gold and silver, those who have triumphed through the trials and temptations of life, those who have repented of their sin and entered into a life following Jesus, those who have been washed clean by his refining process. There's a wonderful passage in Revelation. All the angels are standing around the throne with the elders and the four living creatures, and they fall down with their faces towards the throne, worshipping God. One of the elders asks John, the writer, are these in white robes? These are the people in white robes who are worshipping God. Who are they, and where did they come from? John answers, I don't know, you know, sir. And he said, these are those that have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wonderful picture. Wonderful picture. And I hope that everybody in this room wants to be in that number. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot say, I lead a good life. You do not. Scripture is very clear about that. You cannot trust in the fact that you attend a particular church. You cannot trust in the fact that you were baptized, whether as an infant or as an adult. Those are not salvation. Salvation is through faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and submitting to his refining work throughout your life. Trials, tribulations, and struggles and difficulties are part of the Christian walk. They are the means God uses to purify and refine each one of us. James writes very clearly, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The next time you're in a trial or in a deep temptation, struggling with a life issue, may I suggest that you don't pray for relief? You don't pray that God takes it away, but pray first that through this time of testing, you may be refined. Allow God to use that trial, to use that tribulation, that worry, that concern, that heartache. Allow God to use that as a purifying process in your life. Pray that through that trial, the dross that's in your life will be taken away. And that in the end, when God looks at you, he will see the face of Christ reflected in you. And at the day of his appearing, you can stand. Let us pray. Lord, too often we pray that our troubles and concerns will be taken away. We immediately turn to self-preservation, and we want our lives to be comfortable and happy. Lord, remind us at the next time of trial and trouble that this is part of your refining process. That this trial that has come upon me is a time of testing. It's a time of purifying. Lord, we don't want to pray for trials, but we know that they come. But we know that they come for purification, for refining. So, Lord, as we prepare for our Christmas, Lord, and we prepare for your second coming, Lord, refine each one of us. Purify our hearts, our minds. Purify our speech. Purify our actions. That we will become like Christ. So that when he appears, we can stand with the others, singing praises to you in heaven. Amen. Amen. Just like to draw your attention to the notices in the bulletin. Please read the bulletin. There are some important events coming up, particularly next Sunday night is our cantata at 7 o'clock, cantata and bells, a wonderful time of this season. And in the afternoon after the Sunday morning service, we're going out to do some carol singing and visitation to our shut-ins. And the joy sign up for joy needs to be done today. And just a reminder of the Lions Club is doing its 8th annual festive holiday dinner on December the 12th. That's this coming Wednesday, 5 to 7 at Huron Heights School. When you go from this place, go in the peace of the seas. Know that God loves you and your trials and tribulations of this life are for purification and refining of you so that you will become Christ-like. Take the peace of this season with you and share it with your community. Share it with everybody you meet. Let the love of God shine out through you. Go in peace now. Amen.